Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of our First in Tech podcast. I'm your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
I'm your other host, assistant sports editor Alex Sawyer.
We're going with a bit of a roundtable format today. So also joining us, making his First in Tech debut, our other assistant sports editor, Nick Sinopoli. How you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing, you know, incredibly average, Schnitt. You know, it's, no, I'm kidding. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to finally have the three of us on here. So let's dive right in. NC State football wrapping up that non-conference schedule last week with that big win against Furman. Nick, what'd you see in that one?
You know, Andrew, I finally saw the run game come alive. But you know, if we're looking up and down, you know, this non-conference schedule, I mean, I'm still saying that NC State played its best game against South Carolina, but I mean, it was good to finally see the run game come alive. Naeem Hines, 11 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown to boot. Ryan Finley kind of scaling it back a little bit with only 231 passing yards. But I liked what I saw against Furman, but, you know, it remains to be seen what that means against Florida State.
Yeah, again, I think getting that running game going is huge. It had really struggled in some of the other games, but in this one, NC State carried it 39 times for a total of 242 yards. Average 6.2 yards a carry. Again, you're playing an extremely inferior opponent in Furman. Expect that number to go down, but this was the first game that they had all their preseason starting five that they expected on the offensive line with right tackle Will Richardson coming back from suspension. I think having him back really helped that offensive line, and being able to find that balance in offense is going to be a key moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can't take too much from a Furman game because that is obviously a defense that's pretty low on the scale of what NC State's going to play this year. But the rush looked a lot better. The offense just looked a lot more balanced. I mean, Naeem Hines, 92 yards, that's big. But 242 yards on the ground, 248 passing yards, that's finally a pretty even number. And I think that's what State needs to be successful. You can't depend on Ryan Finley to be throwing 340 yards a game.
You know, I loved what Ryan Finley has done. But, you know, I mean, it's all in the running game. I mean, this is NC State is a run-oriented team, and they've had a tough time this year replacing that 1,000-yard rusher in Matt Days. You know, congratulations to him over at the Cleveland Browns now. But, you know, in my opinion, against Florida State, you know, you're gonna have to give it to one guy, one guy only. You know, I think this running back by committee thing, I don't think it works usually. You don't see it work in the NFL, and it's not really getting any better in college. And in my opinion, I think you got to feed Hines. I mean, he was the leader against South Carolina, leader against Furman, and I think he's just more the explosive back. I like the 1-2 punch they're doing here with Glaspie, the power back, and Naeem Hines, more of the speed-oriented back guy who can really catch out of the backfield. But against Florida State, it's going to be a totally different story. I mean, you know, probably a couple first-round picks on that defense, and in my opinion, you just got to get a guy that's going to explode through that hole, and I think that guy is Naeem Hines.
Yeah, well, Florida State, I mean, that is a uber-talented defense. I mean, that team only lost two starters last year, and I think you're right. And I think the part of the problem with Glaspie, I mean, no disrespect to him, he's just slow. He's not really a fast running back. Hines is fast. I mean, Glaspie is powerful. He can get through the line, but he doesn't have that speed element that you really need in a running, in a, you know, a workhorse running back that's going to be able to take over a game.
Yeah, Glaspie has been a little bit disappointing for State this year. He has 110 yards through the three games. He does have two rushing touchdowns, but he was maybe expected to be more of a power back, and he doesn't have that explosiveness out of the backfield to really break through the line. Hines, on the other hand, does have that explosiveness to get around the line, get through, find big holes. So I think Hines is definitely the guy you got to go with moving forward.
Well, what I liked seeing in that run game in the win over Furman, Jalen Samuels getting the call in the run game. I mean, he takes a direct snap, runs it in for a touchdown. He gets three rushing touchdowns, gets involved in the running game. I think that's the way to go if you want to switch it up from Hines in the running game with somebody with a little more power, is to get J-Sam some of those touches at running back. I mean, he's an all-purpose back. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. Really, he can do anything you ask him to do. So if you need help in the running game, that's another place to turn as well.
Yeah, and I think Eliah Drinkwitz has finally figured out that Jalen Samuels is one special player. I mean, he's preseason All-American and the all-purpose back position. I mean, heck, he's leading NC State in receiving, you know, 26 catches for 220 yards, excuse me, for two touchdowns and three touchdowns in the run game. I mean, the five touchdowns right there. I mean, he's a special player. You know, while he'll continue to say he was recruited to NC State as a tight end, I mean, I think you, Jalen Samuels will find his way, you know, on a team in the NFL next year. But I like that, you know, outlook. Maybe give it to Jalen Samuels. Definitely throw him in some different looks. Definitely, I think he's a slot player for sure. But I mean, when you have someone like Jalen Samuels, just a pure athlete, throw him in the backfield. But you know, you mentioned Hines, and the reason he's so fast is, remember, he was recruited to NC State as a running back, but his freshman and sophomore years, he was a wide receiver in the slot. I remember he had a 100-yard game against Florida State last year. And, I mean, the guy's a special player, Nyheim Hines. And in my opinion, I think it's easier to be successful in the run game if you've got one guy carrying the load. And we saw that exactly last year with Matt Days. I mean, he's NC State's first 1,000-yard rusher in how many years?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's, you know, you mentioned that versatility of J-Sam. I mean, he is listed at tight end, recruited at that. But, I mean, he's not a tight end. He's not really in anything you do at all. It's kind of funny. I was talking to my dad after the Furman game. He goes, yeah, I got to love it when your tight end gets you 3 rushing touchdowns. I'm like, not a tight end. The one thing I did see in that Furman game that I didn't like, and we've continued to see, is big plays against on defense. You give up that 75-yard touchdown. I mean, every game so far, the Wolfpack secondary has allowed at least one home run touchdown pass. That's got to stop going into ACC play.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that was a big question coming here was the secondary, and then they've had so many injuries that unit with Mike Stevens being out, Freddie Phillips. They have problems in the secondary, and they're giving up those big plays. And then when you come into games against Florida State, against Clemson's, against Lamar Jackson and Louisville, those are plays that those teams are very capable of making, and if you're giving them up to Furman, to Marshall, then that's going to be a problem moving forward.
One encouraging sign for that secondary, I will point out, Dave Doran did say after the Furman game, Mike Stevens could have played in that game against a team that runs a triple option and cuts so much, they didn't think it was a good idea to play him coming off a leg injury, but they have said that he will play against Florida State.
And I think he has to. I mean, the secondary has not looked good, and I know going into this season, NC State was, I knew the secondary was going to be a weakness of this team. I mean, Jack Tocho heading into the draft, Josh Jones as well at safety. And, you know, I honestly didn't know Sean Boone was making the move to nickel. So that also, while in my opinion, I think Sean Boone's better at safety, I think that also leaves a hole at NC State. I think, you know, you move Sean Boone up there just because he's a really, I mean, he's a great tackler in the open field. But Mike Stevens got to play this weekend. And, you know, while Jonathan Alston has been pretty average in his first 3 games, I mean, against Furman, I went to the game pretty early, wanted to get a front row seat, and I'm a pretty pale dude, so I had to put on some sunscreen. But I saw Jonathan Alston out there, and I needed to offer him some because he was getting burnt against Furman. I mean, it's 70 plus yards and like stuff like that. I mean, it just shouldn't happen, you know. You see it every game. The dude's getting burnt, and he needs some help, and I think Mike Stevens is going to remedy that.
Yeah, and in fairness to Jonathan Alston, I mean, he makes that transition from wide receiver to corner. That can't be easy, but I think you're right, and I think other teams know that. I mean, teams watch video. They know what's going on. They pre-scout, so I really think Alston has been kind of been getting picked on by these opposing offenses, and I think getting Mike Stevens back in there is going to help that secondary a lot.
Yeah, definitely. That switch can't be easy to go from wide receiver to corner. And I think he's shown some talent. He made 2 big plays in the South Carolina game, but he's also shown that he can get burnt, that he isn't as good. You get Mike Stevens back to kind of complement that. He'll start, but Alston will still get some playing time. I think that'll help him become a better player in the defensive secondary.
All right. We will get to Florida, previewing Florida State shortly, but first let's do a little non-conference wrap up here. Best thing or most encouraging thing you saw from NC State, you know, like a unit in that non-conference schedule? Nick, why don't you start us off?
You know, replacing Matt Days is a big deal with a 1,000-yard rusher. I feel like Ryan Finley has been incredible in his first 3 games. I mean, breaking the completion record against South Carolina, you know, he threw 45 passes. Threw 64, completed 45. And while he's not throwing the deep ball a lot, he's gotten better at it. And I've seen him improve in the offseason, and that's great to see because, you know, Ryan Finley kind of fell in the cracks for me during the offseason. I honestly was just focused on, you know, who's going to be the running back. But Ryan Finley has improved in the offseason, and it's shown in the first 3 games. And I think for the rest of the season, NC State's going to look to Ryan Finley as a guy to really carry the load for this team.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. And I would also agree that the best unit has been that passing game, and that includes Finley, but that also includes Jalen Samuels as a receiver, Kelvin Harmon as a receiver. I mean, Kelvin Harmon has 268 yards. He has one touchdown, but he's been a guy that Finley's been able to go to for the big play in every game they've played this year. So I think getting Jalen Samuels touches, getting Kelvin Harmon touches, that passing game looks really good, and that's something that was maybe a little bit of a weakness for State last year, and something that they've definitely improved on and has looked really good through the non-conference schedule.
I would definitely agree with that, and I would say that the balance on offense in the Furman game really encouraged me because, again, I think the struggles in the run game those first couple games had a lot to do with Will Richardson being out and not having the group you were going to have on the offensive line. And then getting him back and getting striking that balance on offense really is encouraging moving forward for NC State, I think.
One last thing I wanted to include about the good for NC State is that two-minute offense. I mean, you know, it seems like every time NC State has gone into the half, they've found a way to come up with a score. And I remember against that, in that South Carolina game, where they needed a score to tie that game at halftime, they delivered. The two-minute offense led by Ryan Finley has looked spectacular.
Yeah, Ryan Finley over the summer worked really hard on two things, his deep ball and the two-minute drill, and both have looked great. I wrote about this in my game recap, but in all three games so far, NC State has come out and executed a phenomenal two-minute drive to score going into the half. And they've got a good formula, I think. You've got Finley throwing it up to Kelvin Harmon on the sideline, who is able to go up and get those leaping catches, contested catches, and then stop the clock by getting out of bounds. So I really think that's a good formula for NC State going forward.
Yeah, I mean, NC State, they've looked good. I mean, that offense, definitely a pleasant surprise for me. Yeah, that's the good, but let's get to the bad.
Yeah, biggest cause for concern coming out of non-conference. Alec, why don't you start us off with that one?
Yeah, I think it has to be the defensive secondary. Teams are throwing all over State. Jake Bentley of South Carolina, Chase Litton of Marshall, I mean, they both threw the ball really well against State. And the Wolfpack are allowing 253 yards a game, but that number is even lower than it could be because Furman runs that triple option, didn't throw the ball much. Getting Stevens back will help, but that's a unit that just hasn't been good. And again, when you get to the ACC and these quarterbacks that can really throw the ball, that's going to be an issue.
You know, I've been throwing a lot of shade at Jonathan Alston in the defensive secondary and, you know, all those guys, Nick McLeod, Mike Stevens, you know, he's finally shown up this weekend, but you really can't ask for more of those guys. I mean, everyone knew that was going to be a weakness, and they were going to be targeted every game, but when you look into the future, these guys are really going to improve. But something really concerning, in my opinion, is that defensive line. This was supposed to be a defensive line that, you know, definitely has one first-round pick in Bradley Chubb and probably some, you know, mid-round picks with Kentavious Street, B.J. Hill, and Justin Jones. That senior defensive line was supposed to be one of the most vaunted front four in the NCAA. And have they shown up? No, in my opinion. I mean, you know, they were ranked among the likes of Alabama, Clemson, and they haven't shown up. I mean, I'm looking right now, and through three games against South Carolina, where I thought, I honestly didn't even know where they were. Defense didn't even show up till the fourth quarter. Against Marshall and Furman, they've only combined for five quarterback pressures. Five. And that's including one from Jared Fernandez. So really four. And that I was expecting, all right, Bradley Chubb is just going to tear that South Carolina offensive line apart, and it didn't happen. I know Bradley Chubb is on the end, and he's asked to probably pass rush more than he'd like to. He is more run-stopping guy. He's already got 5.5 tackles for a loss in the season, which is impressive, but Bradley Chubb, 1.5 sacks. Kentavious Street, 1 sack. Darren Roseborough, 0.5 sack. That's it for your defensive line. So I think they've underwhelmed for sure. And in my opinion, this weekend against Florida State, they're going to have to outperform in order to get after James Blackman, the freshman.
Yeah, I would agree that the pass rush has been a concern, but one thing I would like to point out, that defensive line has been able to stick to its bread and butter, which is stuffing the run, only allowing 2.8 yards a carry. But I would definitely agree with you, Nick, that I want to see more from the pass rush. Biggest concern for me, and guys, I'm tired of talking about this. You know where I'm going. Oh. It's the we gotta do it.
Dang it. All right, go ahead.
It's the kicking game. 3 field goals attempted, 1 made. A missed 29-yarder against South Carolina that would have given the team a lead. A missed 38-yarder, which is not a slam dunk, but it's a makeable kick. In the fourth quarter against Furman, with your team up by a ton, Not great. And Wise also misses the PAT against Marshall. I'm concerned. Now, granted, I'm not totally trying to throw Carson Wise under the bus here. This has been an issue for a while. Kyle Bambard isn't kicking field goals anymore for a reason. I don't think we need to bring that reason up again. But in football, especially in a conference like the ACC where you're going to be playing against tough opponents in these tight, contested games like we saw with NC State last year, you have to have somebody that can make kicks. If you don't, it's going to cost you precious points, probably cost you wins. And right now, I don't see NC State as having somebody that I trust to make those kicks.
No, definitely not. I don't think the coaching staff has anyone they trust to make those kicks. If you can't make a 29-yarder, I mean, these are field goals that need to be made. If you're a team, when you get into the scoring, the red zone, you need to be able to put points on the board. And if you can't kick a field goal, that's something you can't do, and that's a definite issue.
Yeah, I remember after the Marshall game specifically, Coach Doran, rightfully so, because that was the game with the missed PAT, talked about he has not been happy with NC State's kicking game so far.
One thing I saw against Furman, Carson Wise, luckily he didn't have to kick many field goals because, you know, NC State was just in the end zone afternoon. So that's always great. You know, you hope that against the once you enter conference play that you're not going to need your kicker and only need him for extra points. But when I saw that Furman kicker, I said, dang, you know, can he transfer maybe? I mean, he kicked a 46-yarder against us. And, I mean, it looked good from the uprights. Probably would have been good from 50. So definitely look into him, see if you can recruit him. But no, I'm just kidding. But it's been an issue for as long as I can remember. And it's been an issue for as long as NC State fans can remember. You know, you're looking at, you know, the kicking, and it comes down to Florida State and Clemson. I mean, I know you say don't have to say it, but we do. I mean, it's ridiculous. You bring in these guys like Ryan Finley, a great transfer, a guy that's really outperforming, you know, everyone's expectations. You've got Jalen Samuels, Nyheim Hines, you know, Kelvin Harmon, guys that are really the backbone of this team. And, you know, while you have A.J. Cole there on special teams, who is killing it, I think he might be one of the best punters in the NCAA, over there kicking, you know, it's just a whole other story. I mean, if I were Coach Doran, you know, you've got to try and recruit the best guy for kicking, or maybe say, hey, you know, A.J. Cole, can you start practicing some kicks? But it shouldn't be talked about anymore, Andrew, but it unfortunately is.
Well, I would like to point out NC State does have a highly touted five-star kicker coming in next year, but I agree with you. You've got this talented team, and you've got all these talented players and the opportunity to do something special this year. You lose the two games. The ECU and Clemson losses last year are a direct result of missed field goals. It's really going to be a shame if this team, this talented team with a lot of potential, is done in from what it can potentially do because it doesn't have the kicking.
Yeah, I think you never want special teams to be something that influences your game. And when you have a special teams unit that's not performing like this, it's something that really has a negative effect on the team.
Now we move in to conference play. And the Wolfpack has got a big one this week, going on the road to take on one of his historic football rivals in Florida State. A lot of unknowns coming into this game because Florida State, they lose their starting quarterback, DeAndre Francois, for the season with a torn patellar tendon in that opening game loss to Alabama. And their game last week against Miami gets postponed by Hurricane Irma. They really haven't played in almost 3 weeks. And I've been corresponding a lot with their sports editor down there at FSU News, Blake Devine. They haven't even really been able to practice a whole lot over these past couple weeks due to the adverse weather conditions, and our thoughts and prayers go to everyone in Florida impacted by that terrible storm. But this is going to be interesting to see what kind of Florida State team comes out on Saturday.
Yeah, we were talking before, and there is a lot of uncertainty coming into this game. And on both sides, I mean, you look at NC State, and I think definitely the biggest question is defensive secondary. You know, Mike Stevens coming back, but what exactly does he bring to the table? Yes, he's only the only returning starter for NC State in the secondary last season besides Sean Boone, but you've got to wonder what he's going to bring to the table and how effective he'll be, and, you know, if they'll have him on a snap count. But, yeah, for Florida State, I honestly watched the game against Alabama, and, you know, you didn't get to see much of their offense just because Alabama's defense was incredible in that game. You know, held them to, like, what is it, 40 rushing yards, I believe, Alabama. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, without Dalvin Cook starting to do maybe a running back by committee and in Seminole country. But, yeah, 6'5", 170-pound James Blackman, a true freshman for Florida State, will get the start. And it could be a long day for him. True freshman against a, and it's a noon game, but it's a big game as his first start in college.
Yeah, I would definitely look for Florida State head coach Jimbo Fisher, one of the best in the business, been around a while, to try to get his run game going early, kind of take a more conservative approach with Blackman, maybe let him take a few more shots later in the game. But that's where that NC State defensive line is going to come in and be key. If they can do what they do best and stuff the run, they're only allowing 2.8 yards a carry this year again. Florida State, at least in the game against Alabama, you got to feel for those Florida State running backs. I mean, they're facing, in two of their first three games, facing two of the best run-stopping defenses in the country. If they can, if NC State can stop the run, force Blackman to throw, force him to face fourth and longs, and their pass rushers can get after him and try to force turnovers, then I really think that that's going to be a great game plan for this NC State defense in this one.
Yeah, definitely. Florida State in that Alabama game, it was freshman Cam Akers and junior Jock Patrick that got the carries. Only 40 yards for the team, but that is against Alabama, so that's a little deceptive. But State brings a defensive line that's, while probably not as good as Alabama's, is very good, and that's something that I think we need to look out for, because when you do have a true freshman quarterback, you need the running game to be good. And if State can stop that running game and force Blackman to throw the ball a lot, that could be something that works out for NC State, because he is a true freshman, and that's a tough situation to have to start your first game in.
And Blackman will have some good weapons in this game. He's got a big play receiver in Auden Tate, a really fast guy in Nyquan Murray, and they've got a tight end, Ryan Izzo, who's played pretty well, and they'll play with a lot on play action. That's going to be something to watch. This NC State team has kind of struggled against tight ends. I really think getting after Blackman, putting pressure on him, forcing him to force those throws, and not be able to rely on the run game is going to be huge for the Pack in this one.
Yeah, definitely, you know, a battle, I think, definitely to watch this weekend is going to be that NC State defensive line versus that Florida State offensive line. And if Bradley Chubb and the rest of those seniors can get after Blackman, he's going to have a long day. And that's what they've been trying to do in the first three games. You haven't seen a lot, only five quarterback pressures from the defense, and it hasn't, I mean, I think that's honestly unacceptable when you have those guys that are highly touted draft picks. But also, and if I'm Florida State, I honestly think I'm throwing the ball. I think, you know, while you've got that front four who's going to be rushing after you, I say, heck, just go after that NC State secondary, because it's been the only uncertain thing really for NC State in that game is that they had never seen James Blackman play before. They don't have much tape on him. They've got tape from high school, but what's that going to do for you? So, you know, you might have guys, you're going to have Jared Fernandez, Arius Moore, and Sean Boone drop back in coverage. But if I'm Florida State, I'm saying, you know, let's throw the ball, because what's been proven is that that secondary for NC State, not that great. You know, you have Mike Stevens back, but I say, have James Blackman, hey, go out and throw the ball and not and try not and like just worry about making mistakes, because mistakes are going to happen. He's a true freshman. But make sure that you're just going after that defensive secondary, because there are a lot of unknowns there, but I feel like Florida State has the upper hand in that aspect. And if I'm Florida State, so what? James Blackman throws three picks? I think their defense can hold up too in the run game.
Yeah, well, that is a phenomenal Florida State defense. I mean, they've potentially got four first-round picks. You've got defensive end Josh Sweat, defensive tackle Derek Nanati, cornerback Tavares McFadden. I mean, they've got a talented secondary and a defensive line that can rush the quarterback, so really key for NC State. It's going to be Finley getting the ball out quickly. When you've got an athletic secondary, again, I think Kelvin Harmon's going to be key in this one, being able to go up and make those big catches and being able to lean on the run game to kind of break up that FSU pass rush is going to be big in this one.
Yeah, definitely. The running game needs to be better, because that secondary for Florida State is just really good. They lost one starter. Tavares McFadden had 8 interceptions last year. That's a tough team to throw on. And so State really does need the running game to be as good as it was against Furman, because you can't depend on Ryan Finley to be throwing 40 times against that team, because that's just not going to work out.
I would definitely agree with that. And going back to that NC State defense a little bit, one player you did mention by name, Nick, Sean Boone. If somebody in the NC State defense is going to make a big play in this one, I'd watch for it to be him, the senior nickel. He gets his first pick of his career for a pick six against Furman last week. And everybody remembers what happens in that home loss to Florida State last year, including him. He talked about it, didn't even have to ask him about it, volunteered it right up when talking about his pick after the Furman game. He drops that pick in the end zone against Florida State last year at home with NC State leading with a couple minutes to go. Next play, Florida State gets the game-winning touchdown. So I really think that's going to be a motivated player. And adding to that motivation, we all saw the terrible devastation that Hurricane Irma wreaked on the state of Florida. Sean Boone is from Florida. His family still lives there. So I really think that is going to be one highly motivated player for the Wolfpack going into this game.
You know, honestly, I hadn't even thought about that, Andrew. And I think that's some great analysis on your part. You know, Sean Boone, yeah, it's gonna be a big game for him. You know, making the move to nickel, he's hungry. I mean, he had a pick six in his first pick. How about that? A 47-yard interception return for a touchdown. But, yeah, a lot of motivation for Sean Boone going to this. I think he's one of the more underrated players, one of the more underrated senior players on the defensive in the secondary for NC State. I think he's a draft pick, in my opinion. But Sean Boone, I think it's going to be important for him to have a good game because he's basically he is the leader in that secondary. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Mike Stevens has missed three games. Sean Boone is the only guy really back there, and the safeties have looked all right without without Boone back at strong safety. But I like Sean Boone. I think he's got to have a good game. And you're right. You know, if he can provide some extra motivation going into this game, it's going to be an emotional game for him going back to Florida and looking, you know, honestly, the ruin that, you know, Hurricane Irma has put it in. And it's going to be huge for NC State and Sean Boone if he can come up with a couple big plays.
Definitely. I definitely think that's going to be something to watch in this one. Now, to wrap this one up, let's do final score predictions just so we make sure we make ourselves look silly. Alec, why don't you go first?
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, I thought this was a game State had no chance in, but the injury to DeAndre Francois really hurts that team, but it's Florida State at home against that really good defense. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I'm going to say 21-10 Florida State takes this one.
You know, my gut here is telling me, dude, like, NC State has a chance in this game, and it's the first time in a while that I think, you know, NC State has a big chance to upset, you know, Florida State at Florida State. You know, in Tallahassee, this would be a big game. Florida State hasn't played in 2 weeks. I mean, dude, like, it's all there. It's all, everything for NC State to win this game is there. Florida State still ranked number 12th in the country after being away from the football field for 2 weeks. You mentioned that apparently down in Florida, they haven't gotten to practice a lot due to the destruction down there. And that's, you know, you hate to see that. But my mind is telling me, Nick, do not get confused. It's NC State. Like, while everything might be going right into this game, Ryan Finley has looked spectacular. The run game finally picked up against Furman. And you got Jalen Samuels getting 5 touchdowns this year so far. Dude, there's no way I could pick NC State in this game. I'm going to say it's a little lower scoring than expected because of that new quarterback, James Blackman. I'm going to go Florida State 28, NC State 21. Carson Wise probably going to miss a field goal. You heard it here first.
Those both sound about right to me. NC State, I think, definitely has all the potential to go in and win this game, but I think on the road in a tough environment, Florida State's just going to make a couple more plays. I've got it a little bit closer than you guys. I've got 23-20, so Nick, your prediction might come into really big play there, but I've got the Pack losing a close one, but it would not surprise me at all if this NC State team were to go down there and squeak out a win.
No, they definitely have the opportunity in front of them to win this game.
Unfortunately, you're right. I would not be surprised if NC State did win this game, because that's just NC State. You're not fazed by anything anymore. I mean, like, dude, NC State, consistently inconsistent, year in, year out, very average, but If there's any game NC State has a better chance to win an upset this entire year, it's Florida State. I mean, we saw Clemson demolish Louisville. And I think this is the best chance for NC State to upset a top 25 team in the ACC. But it's just hard for me to predict that.
Yeah, it is hard to go out on that limb with this team when you haven't seen it happen yet. I agree with that. I think that is going to about wrap us up for this week. Again, I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
I'm assistant sports editor Alex Sawyer.
And I'm your boy Nick Sinopoli, the other assistant sports editor.
And we are out of here for this week. Thanks again for listening, guys.